In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. This Sunday, we commemorate the holy prophet and King David, and Joseph the betrothed, and James the brother of the Lord. The gospel that is set for them, it's also read during the Nativity sequence. We've read this gospel about four times in the past few days, shows their obedience to God, that is, Joseph and James, certainly, in the face of incredible persecution, incredible uncertainty, times of anxiety, times of not knowing what was going to happen next, times of people after their heads, times of just injustice all around the world. Doesn't it sound a lot like today? It sounds a lot like today. We're in a very difficult time, especially because modern technology can make it possible to repress a people very, very quickly. Much more easily than it was easy for Herod to repress his people. He didn't have listening devices in people's homes. He didn't have technology to get anywhere he wanted as quickly as possible and to be able to communicate with people far away. We're in a difficult time. And of course, we've just had the electoral votes being counted. And we've had incredible, just terrible things happen. Not just what happened on the ground, but what people say about it. There's a certain collective insanity in our society, and it makes us very unsteady. At least it does me, I'll be honest with you. It's a scary time. If you were Joseph, wouldn't you think it was a scary time? Here he had a young woman whom he was the apparent husband of. She was just a child herself, maybe 15 years old. And she had borne the God-man Jesus Christ, and Joseph had probably didn't understand completely what was going on, but certainly since he'd been told about a dream that this child was of the Holy Spirit, this is certainly a holy child, and he probably had at least some inkling this is the Messiah. And yet, the Messiah is born, and people are trying to kill him. It's a dangerous time. How did they react to this danger? They were told by God in a dream, that was Joseph was told, to go into Egypt, and so he did. What did he do in the face of violence, in the face of lies, in the face of persecution? He gave way to them and left until another time when God would call them back. I think that's a good lesson for us. I just recently had someone ask the question, when is it right for us to uprise and to actually take back our country? And I would say it's not appropriate. I don't want to talk about violence. The only kind of violence I want to talk to you about is the violence that you should have when you do your prostrations and when you say your prayers and when you beg the Lord for mercy upon you and upon your loved ones and upon your country and upon the world, upon those who are starving, upon those who are drug addicted, upon those who are mentally ill. All of the terrible things that are happening in our day. And in the face of what looks like apparently will become repression in our country. It certainly has all the signs of becoming a more repressive society. And what are we to do in the face of it? I don't recommend. In fact, I forbid. If you can obey me in one thing in your life, obey me in this. I forbid that people would take up arms to somehow take back their country. What an idea. The violence that you should have is the same kind that the violence that Joseph had. He obeyed the Lord. They went to Egypt. And I'm certainly he must have been praying very much during the entire time. And then God called them back. The violence that you should have is personal integrity. It takes courage to have personal integrity. Vladik Ilarion talked about it a little bit. He didn't use the word personal integrity, but basically a humble person has integrity and is courageous in the face of difficulties. It was really inspired what he said. Maybe I'll copy it out and send it to everyone so you can remember what he said about humility. Humility is to always follow the will of God and actually be continuing to grow in following the will of God and not following your own will, to be angry about this and about that and upon that person says this and it's obviously wrong, etc., etc. I'll tell you one thing that's definitely going to happen in our country. anything restricting abortion or helping people to make better decisions about abortion is going to be thrown out, right out the window. What are we going to do about that? Well, you should pray. That's what you should do. Not just be angry. How's that going to help anything? I want to tell you an example of personal integrity from the life of St. James, the brother of the Lord. And if you can kind of take this example and just use it in everything in your life. You have to have personal integrity. You have to have personal, deep, abiding honesty and compassion for people. And you have to not react with evil for evil. But instead, you must forbear. You must pray. This is the example of Joseph and of James and of the Theotokos. And David, too. David was a king during a tumultuous time. And he made several serious mistakes. But in the midst of that, he was a man after God's heart. In the midst of all of that, he was a compassionate person who took care of the poor. So we must somehow be people all the time with personal integrity. And here's the example I want to tell you. Some of you already know this, but it's such an edifying story. It is the reason why James is called the brother of the Lord. Now, he was a son of Joseph, meaning that he would not be related to Mary. Joseph had James and Jude and I think Simeon and Salome, those and at least those children. And then his wife died and he was a widower. And James was young. James was probably, he might have been a preteen when Jesus was born. And so he definitely went with the family to Egypt. So years go by, and Joseph, who was 85 years old when Christ was born, when he was betrothed to the Theotokos to protect her, he became to be 105. And he knew that he was going to die soon, so he wanted to give up his inheritance to his children. That was a typical thing that was done. The father would distribute his inheritance before his death, and it would go to the sons. And Joseph counted 4 sons. But Jesus was not his son. In fact, you can see in the gospel today, it talks about take the young child. Is that how you do talk to a father? You wouldn't do that. You take your son. But he doesn't say that. The angel says take the young child, because the young child is not his son. Right? Only he is the son of God, and he only has a mother, not a son. Not a father in this earth, not a human father. And Jude protested, because everybody knew that Jesus was not Joseph's son. So by the inheritance rules, Jude said it should go to the 3 sons. And James, the youngest, said, let him have my portion. And for this, he was counted the brother of the Lord, because he counted Jesus as a brother. Of course, not physically, biologically a brother, not related at all, except maybe down, you know, as a common ancestor, but certainly not related from the same father or the same mother. So he counted Jesus as his brother. This is personal integrity. And you can apply personal integrity to everything you do in life. There are difficult things happening now, and they will continue to happen, but you must live a good life with honesty, with compassion, with kindness, with meekness, with humility, giving way to evil, not sending out angry memes on Facebook, and not judging people because of the things they're saying that are just not making sense. And you should increase your prayer. It should be part of your personal integrity that if you say you are something, you better be that thing. If you say you are a Christian, then you should pray to God about everything. I personally think every single one of us should be increasing or starting our prostrations. A prostration is really an intense form of prayer. And it might be difficult physically. Well, you can use a chair to help yourself get up, or a cane, or something like that. Or you can do 3, or 12, or 100. I recommend everyone would do that. They're not always easy. And by the way, if you do 3 and it feels bad, if you do another 3, it'll feel better. See, you get warmed up. And then you can do your prostrations and pray for the world, pray for your family, pray for people who are suffering. Pray that we wouldn't have this collective societal insanity that is going to cause more death and more destruction, more suicide and more strange lifestyles and more mental illness and more drug addiction. It's all happening so much more because of the pandemic, and we're going to have a year more of it. For sure, at least half a year of repression because of the pandemic. And you know, governments don't like to give up control once they've taken it. So there's a certain measure of control that's happened. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here. It's just that life is, you can see the signs that we might not be as free a people in the future. What are you going to do about that? Well, you're going to go buy an AR-15? I don't recommend it. What I recommend is that you do your prostrations. That's violence. That's the right kind of violence. And you be personally, have a personal honesty that you apply to everyone in your life. That's violence. That's the kind of violence where you don't give yourself an excuse to do what you want to do or what is easy or what perhaps will make it not so hard on you or will express your anger towards a person. That is violence. That's winning the kingdom of heaven by violence. There's been a lot of talk about violence, a lot of it completely out of people's head. They're just talking about violence and don't even understand it. Let's talk about the kind of violence that we should understand, where we are winning the kingdom of heaven by violence, by where we are praying our prayers with effort, and where we are asking the Lord to deliver us from troubles and all the other people that are in trouble. Maybe people you know, maybe people you don't know, but you certainly know that society is becoming crazier. Just crazier. People are saying things that make no sense. People are saying the kinds of things that literally, I think not so long ago, a psychiatrist would say, that's mental illness. But now it's considered to be virtuous. This is happening to us. And I don't want you to be terrified or anxious. I am talking about these things often. I don't want you to be terrified because I'm talking of them. I want you to have power. And I'm telling you, if you pray with desire, with your blood, and the great way to do that is prostrations, absolutely. It's the best way I know of. If you pray with desire, with your blood, then there's a certain power in you. And you just know God is in control. Everything that's happening, God is aware of. He is allowing what he wants to allow. He will forbid the things he wishes to forbid. We don't always know which is which. But he certainly will always hear our prayer when we are bowing down on the ground and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy. Then we are emulating people like Joseph the betrothed, James, the brother of the Lord, David, the prophet and king. Then we're really doing something other than just hanging around waiting for the next terrible thing to happen. Don't do that. Don't engage in anger. I would recommend to you basically that you withdraw from political conversations, especially when people just are saying things that are just crazy. And pray. Pray first for your loved ones, for those around you, for those across your path. Then also pray for those that you might have a special feeling for. Perhaps a person's had an abortion. Then I think that person should have a special feeling for those who've had abortions or may be considering abortions, and therefore would beg the Lord with prostrations to deliver people from the sin of abortion and the aftermath of abortion, which is always very shattering for a soul. And perhaps that some people could actually not do an abortion and not have that misery in their life. Perhaps you know someone or you've personally had problems with a substance addiction, alcohol or drugs or something. Then I would think you should have a heart to pray for those people. I happen to, because I don't know, I just end up doing a lot of things. I can't figure out why I do so many things sometimes. I'm around the homeless all the time. And I see mental illness and I see drug addiction. And it's great to help the homeless, you know, to feed them and maybe to get them a blanket and to stay overnight when they're in a warm sleeping place, which I do sometimes. Those are all good things. But shouldn't my heart also have this compulsion to pray for them? If you see things that are not right, then you must, as a Christian, there must be something in your heart that forces you to bring these things before God. This is critical because our life is changing. And when life is very difficult, then what are you going to do? If people are not prepared, then they can lapse into all kinds of problems. There are going to be lots of opportunities or temptations in the coming days, maybe this year, maybe next, certainly in this decade, for sure, where there will be things where we can make compromises to make our life easier. Maybe even apparent or real compromises in our faith. Are you ready for that? Do you have the strength to be able to say, no, this is not the right thing and I won't do it? Do you have that strength? You'll have that strength if you are acting like Joseph and acting like James, praying, giving way to the will of God, understanding that there's sort of like a bigger picture involved in things. It's not just all what's happening in the political and the social sphere. It is spiritually what's going on. And you have an opportunity to become all flame. And then as you are all flame, you can spread that flame to others. Do you believe this? This is really true. I understand that we're not really great saints or anything. And, you know, we can't stay up all night praying and, you know, suspend ourselves by ropes around our armpits so we won't fall asleep. Some of the saints would do that. And they pray all night long. We can't do that. You know, I mean, if we say the Jesus prayer at 10 o'clock at night and we stay awake for 15 minutes, that's an incredible accomplishment. But it's still a great accomplishment to do it. So I'm begging you as your pastor, I won't stop. I won't stop telling you this. Because I want you to be prepared for anything that comes about in your life. And even if there's not a great persecution and suddenly we have just our freedoms restored and a totally benevolent government here and worldwide, as if some fairy waves a wand and that happens. Even if that happens, there are still things in your life that are going to challenge you. The death of a loved one, somebody who you know is abused, the overdose of a friend. I just had that recently happen. Those are terrible things, terrible things. How do you deal with it? Well, I deal with it by frustrations. Otherwise, I think I just would lose my mind. So I think you should too. So I want you to become more intense, okay? But intensity is a more of a private intensity, not a public intensity, right? Not like you're going to give all your opinions about what is right or wrong about our society and our politics. If you're going to do that, you're going to be writing for a long time. Instead, be praying. So I hope you see the connection. Maybe it's a little obtuse to you. To me, it's just like a gigantic sun in my eyes. And that James had this personal integrity to call his Lord and Savior his brother because James was humble and good. And we must have that kind of personal integrity. So look around. You're going to see many opportunities to have a personal integrity that is not around you. May God help you to do this through the prayers of the holy prophet David and holy Joseph the betrothed and James the brother of the Lord. Christ is born. Oh.